This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer. Good morning and welcome to our worship together. Again, it is so good to be able to gather together here in our church building, but also to welcome everyone who's joining us this morning on our live stream as we worship this morning. For this week, though, we welcome Johnny and Danny both back here to our church family in Malone. Johnny and Danny are going to be sharing a little bit more about the work of Stand By Me that most, if not all of us, are familiar with. As Johnny has been with us several times talking to us about the work of Stand By Me around the world. And Danny will be familiar to you because a couple of years ago he joined us for a placement for 6 months whenever he was doing a course at Union College. So it's great to have you both back with us this morning. As we come to think about Stand By Me, we recognize that this is God's church in the world.
The reading this morning is from Mark chapter 14, and I'm reading verses 3 to 9, and I'm using the Good News Bible. Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon, a man who had suffered from a dreaded skin disease. While Jesus was eating, a woman came in with an alabaster jar full of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on Jesus' head. Some of the people there became angry and said to one another, "What was the use of wasting the perfume? It could have been sold for more than 300 silver coins and the money given to the poor." And they criticized her harshly. But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a fine and beautiful thing for me. You will always have poor people with you. And any time you want to, you can help them, but you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body to prepare it ahead of time for burial. Now I assure you that wherever the gospel is preached all over the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is fantastic to be here with you this morning. As Catherine said, you have seen me here before, but not in this guise. I have joined the team at Stand By Me, and I speak on behalf of myself and Johnny to say that we are so thrilled to be here worshiping with you this morning, and we're so, so grateful for the support that you provide our Stand By Me kids. As many of you know, Stand By Me cares for over 4,000 children all across the world, from Colombia to Ethiopia to Nepal. And this morning we want to think about some of the ways that we get to show God's love to our kids so that they can become all that God created them to be. Throughout the Bible we see Jesus showing God's love to others. And this morning we want to think how the Bible is more than a story, as we do the same, show love to others. And we firstly want to think about this passage in Mark that was just read for us, where Jesus was at the house of a man called Simon. And while he is eating, this woman comes near him with this bottle of perfume. Now, I don't think it was Hugo Boss like this, but I can imagine it was probably even more expensive than my Hugo Boss. This was a gift to me, actually. But I can imagine this bottle of perfume that this woman had was even more expensive than this, because it meant so, so much to her. It must have cost, I don't know, 6 months' wages, I think the Bible tells us. To save up for 6 whole months to buy this bottle of perfume, it probably meant the world to this woman. Now, We all have our prized possession. For this woman, it was a little bottle of perfume, her prized possession. We all have a prized possession, something that we have that we value above everything else that we have. Now, for some of our boys and girls, it might be a toy that you play with every single day without fail. Or for some of us, it might be a book that we read every single night without fail. For some of us here, it might be our car that we wash every single Saturday. Or maybe it's a nice bit of jewelry that you wear to church this morning. We all have a prized possession. For me, the one thing that I absolutely love is my bike. Now, obviously my bike's not back here. Couldn't bring my bike this morning. But I have this medal that I got when I was riding my bike. To say that I have ridden 60 miles of the North Coast, the Giants Causeway Sportif in the North Coast. And there is also my racing number, a 900. And a wee photo of me struggling to get uphill. Not easy. Not easy at all. For me, I love my bike. I love getting the sun on my face, wind through what's left of my hair, the wheels below me whirring along, just carrying me along. It is amazing. I love my bike, my most prized possession. Now, for this woman, this little bottle of perfume meant so, so much to her. And she had a unique and special purpose for this little bottle of perfume. As we know, she takes it over to Jesus. Jesus is surrounded by people, his disciples included, and she breaks this jar and pours it on Jesus' head. Now, the people around him are thinking, what a waste. What a terrible waste. She's just thrown all this perfume around Jesus. How much money did that cost? And she's just thrown it all over Jesus' head. What a waste. But Jesus stops him. He says, hold on a second. Hold on just a second. He says, what this woman has done for me is amazing. It's absolutely beautiful what she has done. Because Jesus knew that he was going to die. In the weeks and months to come, Jesus knew this. And he knew that he was going to be buried. He was going to rise 3 days later. And this woman broke this jar, poured it on Jesus' head to show him a blessing. To show that she loved him, that she cared for Jesus. She did not have much, but she had this one prized possession that she chose to break over Jesus' head to bless him. And that's the amazing part of this story. This woman, it says, the Bible tells us there, she did what she could. She poured perfume on my head to prepare it ahead of time for my burial. She did what she could. She had this one prized possession, and she used it. For 25 years, Stand By Me has been trusting God that we can do whatever we can to provide love, care, and attention for our Stand By Me kids. And Jam, you know that you have a good friend in Dagan, and he is thriving because of the love, care, and attention that you provide for him. A life-changing education he now has. Food for each day and clean water to drink. What seems like such little things to us make a really, really big difference. A massive difference. Clean water, for example, you just go and you turn on the tap at home, it comes out. But it's a much, much bigger challenge for our kids. And I want to introduce you to another one of our kids. This is Sifan. So Sifan lives in a town called Dembidolo in Ethiopia. There it is there. She lives with her mum and her brother and her sister in a one-room mud hut that they rent from the government. Now, Sifan's mum grows garlic on the side, just beside their house, so that she can sell the garlic at the market to make some money. But before Sifan joined our Stand By Me school, she had to stay at home. She had to look after her brother and her sister. She would light the fire. She would do some cooking. She would wash the dishes and wash the clothes. And one of the big things for Sifan is she goes down every day to the river, a few minutes' walk from her house, to collect water. And once she's collected that water, she takes it back home. But as you can see, the water that she takes home is dirty. It's not clean. So water, clean water, is a big obstacle for Sifan. Now, one of the ways, you're probably wondering, what on earth is this standing beside me here? One of the ways in Ethiopia that our schools get clean water is using a water filter. So here we have two buckets, okay? So inside the top one, you would have your dirty water. And what's amazing, Johnny has kindly put in a water filter, which we can provide our schools as a water filter. So the water goes through the filter, down the pipe, into the bucket at the bottom, and the bucket at the bottom catches all the clean water because the water filter that's inside here, the dirt gets left behind. It's amazing. And that's one of the ways that our schools in Ethiopia provide clean water for our kids. So when Sifan's mum heard about the Stand By Me school, she brought Sifan along, where she now gets clean water every single day, along with life and two hot meals a day. So Sifan now gets up, puts on her uniform, she goes to school with her friends, and she hopes and dreams for a brighter future. She one day hopes to be a doctor, so by giving her a place at the Stand By Me school, she can become everything that God created her to be. Water is no longer an obstacle for Sifan. It's amazing.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is genuinely so good to be back with you all. As Danny has shared already, some of the challenges, some of the obstacles that our kids around the world face, we've thought about how we can solve a problem that is water for our kids. This last year, as we all know, has presented huge challenges. And as there's been a pandemic, and for our kids living in Myanmar, we're aware that a lot of those challenges still exist right through to today. But for us in Stand By Me, we have always been committed to doing what we can, to showing God's love in action to some of the poorest children around the world. I want to tell you about Dershai this morning. Dershai lives in Ethiopia. She also lives in a small mud hut house. And she lives there with her mum and with her little sister. I went out and met Dershai just a few months before the pandemic began. And whenever I was with Dershai, I spent a lot of time talking to her mum, Gitu. And Gitu, to try and get by, she weaves baskets at home. She takes grass and she wraps it round, and it takes an awful long time. She let me have a go, and let's just say there's no photographs of me doing it because I was terrible. So I was. But she makes these baskets, and then she takes them to the market in order to sell them. And so she makes a little bit of money. But we know that for Dershai and for her little sister, that life can be difficult. Life has a lot of challenges. And so we made sure that Dershai would get a place in one of our Stand By Me schools. And so every single morning, Dershai gets up, she puts on her uniform, she makes her way to our school, where she loves to spend time with her friends. We want to make sure that she doesn't have to worry about anything. And so when she comes along every single day, she gets a brilliant chance to learn. She gets a first-class education in a classroom with all of her friends, learning, studying, getting to find out so much more about the world that we live in. As well as that, Dershai gets her breakfast first thing in the morning, and then she also gets a really healthy lunch every single day. And we realized whenever the pandemic started that we had a huge challenge. And that huge challenge was this. Our schools had to close, just like our schools here at home had to close to keep people safe. And we realized that whenever our schools were closed, that would mean for lots and lots of our boys and girls, they wouldn't get their breakfast and they wouldn't get lunch. And so we knew that we had to do something. So what did we do? Well, we did what we could. We had a think and we prayed about it, and we felt that God was asking us to provide food parcels to our families right around the world. And so we took a step of faith. We sent money out to our staff in Ethiopia and Colombia and Romania, and we said, go and buy what a family needs to make sure that they've got food, that they've got fuel, and they've got soap so that they can wash their hands and have something to eat every single day to try and keep people safe. And so Dershai was able to receive a food parcel. And that food parcel was filled with lots and lots of amazing things. There's lots of things to make lots of traditional Ethiopian dishes, and it even had rice. Now, I know that for us, rice is maybe not the most exciting food, but for lots and lots of our boys and girls in Ethiopia, rice is a real novelty. So they were really excited to receive these food parcels. We took that step of faith to send 1 month of food parcels. And then we felt that God was telling us to keep standing by people, to keep doing this for as long as it takes. And I want to tell you this morning that God is good. We were able to give food parcels to 1,500 families around the world, all the way from March, all the way through to November, until our kids could start to get back to school. It was an amazing blessing, and time again, we heard how touched and how moved people were as our staff carefully brought food parcels and left them at houses for families, little things that make an enormous difference. We heard time and time again just how significant this was. And even for Dagan, got this lovely photograph through of Dagan receiving a food parcel to take home, knowing that even though our boys and girls couldn't be at our school, that they were still loved and cared for every single day. We've been able to do that the whole way through the pandemic. And even now, as our schools potentially have to close for short times around the world, we're making sure that our boys and girls continue to get their food parcels, continue to get looked after, to be shown God's love in action. And when we do these little things make a really, really big difference. I want to tell you about one other person. This boy is called Muhammad. I first met Muhammad about 5 years ago out in Ethiopia. Muhammad's dad had very sadly passed away, and Muhammad's mum had passed away even when he was much younger than that. And I remember sitting in this tiny little mud house with Muhammad and with his siblings, hearing about the challenges that they faced. And as we heard about those challenges, we knew that the big challenge for Muhammad would be that he would probably have to step out of his education. He would probably have to stop going to school in order to help look after his siblings. But we didn't want that to happen. So again, we did what we could. We looked after him, we cared for him, we made sure that he would get a chance to come to school. We made sure that his family were looked after, that he had food to provide for his siblings, that he had money to rent a house, all the things that Muhammad would need. And even during this last year, which has been a real struggle and a real challenge, Muhammad was getting ready to sit some pretty big exams. Our boys and girls sit really important exams in grade 8, and it decides whether or not they can get to go on to high school. Now, our dream when we started our school was that we would get all of our boys and girls from the start of primary school to the end of primary school. And we've been amazed over the years to see our boys and girls go on to high school, to go on to college, to go on to university, to go on to get jobs, and to start to change the world themselves. We heard some amazing news just a number of weeks ago that all of our boys and girls in Ethiopia, every single boy and girl who sat their grade 8 exams, passed their grade 8 exams. Now, they didn't get homeschool and iPads and broadband and all those sorts of things, so this was a real, real impressive thing as our boys and girls worked so hard, as our teachers worked so hard to try and help them. And Muhammad passed with the best results in our school. He scored in the 99th percentile of pupils in the country. Muhammad's dream one day is to go on to become a doctor as well. A dream that has taken not just one massive step, but one massive leap closer to becoming a reality. Muhammad has done so well that he's got to go to an advanced school to help him to pursue that dream of one day becoming everything that God made him to be. And so it's lots of little things. It's clean water, it's food every day, it's shoes on your feet, it's a uniform to wear. It's a chance to get a brilliant education that enables all of our kids to dream of a better future, but to know of a God who loves them and of a God who cares for them. I know that many of you sponsor children here in Malone. I know that JAM sponsor Dagan as well. And I want to say thank you because it makes such an enormous difference in the lives of our kids. To know that someone is looking after them, caring for them, praying for them, supporting them as they become everything that God intends them to be for their lives is huge. I want to say an enormous thank you. And I want to thank all of you as a church for your continued support that has enabled us to protect families over this last difficult year. And as we look forward to the future, as we continue to stand by those families, to help them know just how loved and cared for they are. The Bible is so much more than a story. It's the most incredible story ever told. And it's a story that we're invited to play our part in, as we live our lives to show others that they are loved by us and that they're loved, most importantly, by God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that each of us can play our part in your incredible story. God, we thank you that each of us can do little things that make a huge difference. And so, God, whether it's that we look across the street or around the world, Father, help us to be people who step out as salt and as light, who go and who tell this story of the good news, that Jesus died but that he rose again, that we tell people of a God who loves them and cares for them, God, that we don't just tell them, but that we show them in the most practical ways. God, we pray for each of our Stand By Me kids. God, as they experience your love, God, that they would come to know that they are loved by you. God, that they would live their lives for you as they take up their part in your incredible story. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We've heard of one way that we can show God's love through the work of Stand By Me. And other ways we can show God's love through bringing our money each week to JAM that we can give to sponsor Dagen. And another way we can show God's love, the Bible says, is through praying for those we know who are in need. So we're going to pray now, and we're going to do five very short prayers about people and places around the world who need God right now. We all know over the past few weeks here in Northern Ireland, there has been trouble. There have been tensions. There's been rioting and violence. And we need to pray for peace again here. So let's close our eyes and turn our thoughts to God and pray a short prayer for Northern Ireland. Lord God, after all the violence we've seen, even just across our own city, and near to here, our church buildings. We pray for our politicians, they would find a way to be united, to remain committed to peace across this island. Give community leaders, including church ministers like myself and members like each of us, wisdom and courage to bring peace to our communities. Help us to pray our part, to pray, to live together and obey your command to love one another. Amen. Our second prayer is a prayer for somewhere across the world, for Myanmar. You may have seen in the news, on Newsround, on the TV, some of the images of what has been happening there and the civil unrest as a result of the military coup. Teachers, lawyers, students, office workers have been out protesting. But when they have done so, they've been met with violence. And Myanmar is a dangerous place to be right now. So let's again close our eyes and turn our thoughts and pray for Myanmar. Lord God, Myanmar is a beautiful country. But the pictures we see on the news are ugly. They show people scared, injured, risking their lives as they demonstrate for what they think is right. Bring peace, Lord, to this country. Remove those who are causing fear and harm. Remove them from power and influence. Protect families and children. Protect your church, God. Remove all that is ugly from Myanmar and make it beautiful once again in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to keep our thoughts in that part of the world, and we're going to turn our thoughts to Indonesia. You may have seen some of the images of the impact of the cyclone there, but with other news headlines this past week, there hasn't been a lot of information coming through. But many, many people have been killed and even more injured by the storms and the flooding and the effect of the cyclone. We know that Indonesia and the islands, some particular, need our prayer. So let's turn now and let's pray for Indonesia. Lord God, you know every one of the thousands of people who are homeless after the flooding and the landslides and the destruction caused by the cyclone. Show them your kindness. Comfort them and help them. Would you give strength to doctors and emergency workers who are probably feeling exasperated and overwhelmed? Thank you for the quick response from the church in Indonesia. Help your church to bring hope as they open their building to be shelters for the homeless and they try to feed those who are hungry. Amen. And we turn our thoughts for our next prayer to back to school. We have seen maybe the past week the traffic getting a little bit busier in the morning as the schools have opened, and that has been great. But we want to pray for all those children who are back to school, and also remember there are many who are not yet back to school. So let's close our eyes once again and pray. Lord God, we do thank you that our schools are open again. And school children are back in the classroom with their friends and their teachers. We thank you for all the hard work that the teachers have put in to make this possible. This morning we ask that you would help the millions of children who are not in school because they are too sick or their families are too poor so they have to work or there are no trained teachers where they live. We thank you for Stand By Me and the many children they help to go to school like Dagum. Use all those who sponsor children, all the Stand By Me staff and supporters to get more children into school and make a difference. Amen. And our final prayers is for one family in particular. We maybe have watched yesterday the funeral of Prince Philip. And so we want to turn our thoughts to pray for that family and especially for the Queen after losing someone who she has known as her husband and her friend for 73 years. Let's close our eyes and let's pray one last time. Lord God, the Queen must feel such a loss. After the death of her husband, Prince Philip, who she was married to for 73 years. Today, comfort her. We pray that all that she did yesterday with her family to say farewell to Prince Philip, we pray that that would bring her comfort. All the messages that she's received from all around the world would bring her comfort. And knowing the prayers of the church would bring her comfort. But most of all, her faith in you, God, that she knows you, Jesus, as her Savior and Lord, would comfort her this day. And would you comfort all families today who feel the pain of the loss of someone they love? And give them the hope of Jesus and his resurrection. We thank you that Jesus rose again. Thank you that he gives us eternal life when we trust in him. And in his name, we pray these prayers. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.